for sure. Romans chapter 12. But he would tell you right off, he's never claimed to be a singer, right? All right, Romans chapter 12. I pick at him, but he does a good job, all right? And he really does. Verse 9. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. You know, I believe the Apostle Paul lays out for us here a short course, if you will, in the basics of Christianity. Just the basics of Christianity. I was reading and studying and trying to prepare the message, and I thought, okay, how in the world do I handle this? And the truth of the matter is, I could break it up and preach different sermons, several different sermons. But I decided what the Lord wanted me to do was just put it this way and really just kind of give you the basics of Christianity. It's really not that complicated. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy to live the Christian life, because it's not. There's plenty of opposition that can be thrown up against you, and it usually comes. So it's not necessarily so easy to live it, but it's not a complicated thing. The basics are just that. They're basic, all right? Just basic. So if you'll stay with me tonight, we'll just look at them, and I'll try to meddle as much as I can just as we get going, all right? First of all right, it just comes down to a resolve. You have to make a resolution of your own self. Notice what verse 9 says. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Yep. You know, that's a very simple statement, yes, but it takes great resolve to do it. Amen. Great resolve to do that. To abhor that which is evil, yes, and to cleave to that which is good. First of all, you got to have discernment to decide what's evil and what's good.
That's right.
And some people seem to struggle with that. They have a hard time deciding, is that evil? And some people look at things, well, it's really not that bad, you know, and we can justify some things. But the truth of the matter is, we need to check it out. And when we say evil or good, we're not talking about whether we like it or not.
No.
We're talking about from the Word of God, from the
Amen.
Basics and Amen. The basis of the Word of God. Is it right? Is it wrong?
Yep.
And I'll tell you, if it's right, it's good. If it's wrong because it's evil, all right?
Right.
Now, we don't like to look at things that way. Everybody today wants to look at everything in shades of gray, you know? There's no real black and white. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's a lot more black and white than we want to just put it there. There's things that the Bible said, hey, it's dead wrong. Stay away from them. It even says, you know, don't even mess with them at all and have nothing to do with it. Stay away from those things. And you have to come to that resolve in your life to decide, okay, here I am, I'm going to resolve, I'm going to make up my mind, I'm going to make my decision. If it's evil, I'm going to abhor it.
Right.
To abhor that which is evil. Hey, if you abhor it, you're not going to do anything, you're not going to have anything to do with it.
Right.
Not going to have anything to do with it. If you really have that kind of view of it and you look at it that way and you feel that strongly about it, you'll have nothing to do with it. And then the Bible says, cleave. Cleave to that which is good.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not just sort of hang on to it. It
no
means
sir.
Hang on to it with all your might.
Amen.
Just like your life depended on
Amen.
It. Just hang on to it. Hang on to it as strongly as I held on the first time I went down in East Texas. And we were at the swimming hole that was there at my grandmother's house on Village Creek. And my cousin had gone in and he had put this platform. It looked like, from the ground, it looked like 15 feet. When you got up on that platform, it like at least 45 feet, all right? I mean, it was a long ways to the ground standing up there. But he had this cable strung across the creek there, and you could reach up and grab a hold and just zing out there and drop in that creek. And it was an exciting ride, okay? But the only problem was it was just almost out of my reach. And it was a little T-bar like this, okay? And for me, I had to jump up and grab it. When I did, I could only, you know, it's like that. I couldn't stand because for some strange reason, my cousin built it for his frame, not mine. And he's a good 6 inches taller than I was, all right? So when I went, I had, if I was going, I had to jump up and grab hold. But once I did,
yes, sir,
I was going.
That's right.
Because, I mean, you grab a hold, it started sliding.
That's right.
But the problem, you say, well, what's the problem? Well, the problem was right off the edge of the platform, the water was about maybe 6 inches deep.
Yep.
And have you ever seen those funny videos?
Yes.
You know, where people jump on them things and they barely go off and then they fall?
Yep.
Well, in my mind, I'm thinking that's what'll happen to me. But I found out when I jumped up and grabbed a hold, I was too scared to turn loose, all right? I mean, I had a grip on that thing. Cleave to that which is good.
Amen.
We ought to do that. It ought to be that way. Man, the good things of life, get a hold of them, hang on to them. Just make up your mind. Have that resolve that I'm going to stick with what's right, what's good, and I'm going to have absolutely nothing to do with that which is evil. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to I just want to kind of see what. No, got nothing to do with it. Abhor that which is evil. The Christian life begins with that kind of resolve. You have to make up your mind and stick with it. Stick with it and just stick it out. But that's not the end of the Christian life. The Christian life involves relationships. Look at verse 10, would you? Look at verse 10. The Bible says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Notice, in honor preferring one another. Now, look down, if you will, at verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit.
Amen.
Then probably the most difficult verse in all the Bible. Verse 18, if it be possible. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible. Some people say, well, there's my out. Well, we'll get there, all right? Hey, the Christian life involves relationships.
Amen.
It involves relationships with people inside the house of God, fellow believers. Involves relationship with those people outside. We're to have those relationships. And those relationships are to be carefully maintained. Verse 10, kindly affection. All right? One to another with brotherly love. Hey, affection and love are to mark our relations with other believers especially. It's to be there. It's to be there. To this extent, verse 14 talks about those who would persecute you. Bless. I'm not dwelling on that love and affection one for another. Hey, folks, we've been there, we've said it, and I will come back to it in the future, all right, because I really believe in it. But, hey, we're to work on our relationship even with those people that persecute you. Sometimes those people that persecute you are in the church.
Amen.
They aggravate you. They're there and say, well, they ought not do it. Well, okay, I agree with that. But some will. Some will. I mean, and some are just made that way. They're geared that way. And the Bible says what we're to do is that we're the blessing. We're trying to be a blessing to them. Can I say this to you? God's people, we ought to seek to be a blessing to everybody we run into. Just a blessing to everybody you run into. But even more so to those of the house of faith, all right? Could we just be a blessing to people? And, well, they don't deserve it. Okay. Well, what do you deserve?
Come on, preach it. Yes, sir.
We don't deserve a lot. And it's not a matter of what you deserve. Hey, can I say this to you? Your relationship is to be governed by you being right with God,
right,
not with that other person.
Right.
I can try to have a right relationship with that guy right there, no matter how he's doing with me. I can try to be a blessing to him, even if he doesn't want anything to do with it. I can still try to do it. I can still try my best to be a blessing to him. And that is the way our relationships are to be. It's not dependent on the other fella. It's dependent on us doing what we ought to do. We're to be that blessing. We're to work on that. Try to be a blessing to them. The Bible says not curse them. Curse them. Now, I'm not just talking about profanity, but maybe we ought to talk about profanity in our day. You talk about something that's become prevalent in our day. Good grief. More so than it's ever been. Worse. And the sad thing is there's God's people. God's people, people that I know claim to be Christian, and I believe they are. But they're not careful with what they say. And their talk is filthy. Hey, we're to be a blessing. We're to be a blessing. Just to seek to be a blessing. To this extent, look at verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Hey, we're to share in the experience of others. We're to share in that. If they're rejoicing, let's rejoice with them. Now, I've used this illustration because I think it fits so much. So when somebody gets a new car, how do we view it?
Amen.
How do we view it? And now, really, how do we view it?
Yes,
not just the facade we put on out there, but how do we really view that thing? Is it, well, God bless your heart. Man, that is wonderful. I am really glad for you. Not under your breath and in the back of your mind thinking, don't see how come that. No, it ought to be what a blessing. What a blessing. On Facebook this week, I was looking, and all I ever do is just gaze and sweep down, take a look. But I saw two people that I got, at least for them, new cars. I don't know if they're brand new or not, doesn't care. But, man, you know, if you get a new car, it doesn't have to be brand new, all right? I always enjoyed having a new car just as long as it wasn't too much abused before I got it, right?
Amen.
And what a good thing. And you know, I was thinking about those people, and I thought, well, good for them. What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing. Man, what? Now, I did question one fellow that got a convertible in the winter. I did wonder about that. All right? But that's all right. I'm not against him. That's what he wants to do. If he doesn't mind freezing his ears and head, go for it, all right? But, hey, it's a blessing. Let's rejoice with people that are rejoicing.
Amen.
Hey, a child is born into a family. Rejoice with those people. Rejoice. But wait a minute. The other side of the coin is so true. Weep. Weep with those that weep. Be willing to do that, to share in their experiences. We're not to shun other people and just live in our own world. We're not to do that. We're to have a concern for other people. If they're rejoicing, glory to God, let's rejoice with them. But man, if they're weeping, not a thing in the world weeping with them. I don't know how many times I've stood at the head of the casket, and I usually manage to do fairly good until the family gets there. And I begin to see them weeping, and I can't help it. My eyes begin to leak too, you know. Begin to weep with them a little bit, and just to think, you know, my heart goes out to them. Nothing in the world wrong with weeping with people that weep. Man, if people are saddened, it ought to touch us. Let's not have that hard heart that says, nothing can touch me. Nothing can touch me. Listen, the Christian life's about relationships. It's about relationships with people. Then look at verse 16. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Boy, just treat people alike. Treat everybody alike. Hey, if it's somebody that's got a high position, you treat the guy that's got the low position the same way. Treat them the same way. The rich or poor, Where they are on the economic scale ought not determine how we treat people. Shouldn't have anything to do with it. We ought to have that same love and the same concern, and not to let ourself get in the way. Notice that last part of verse 16, be not wise in your own conceit. Let's not let ourself get in the way of that. But just have the same view of everybody. Treat them alike. Not one rated better than the other one, you know. Man, but the same mind one toward another. Same mind. Hey, I like that guy. Now, we're going to have people we just tend to have a closer connection with simply because we share interest, all right? But have you ever thought, you know, if you looked hard enough, you might find an interest with somebody you could share. If you looked hard enough. Just something you could have together. Now, there's somebody that's got 47 interests like yours. You'll be drawn to them more than you want that one that's got one. Sure you will, but that's fine. But treat everybody the same. That's the basic Christian life, all right? The basic Christian life. People have a tendency to accuse and point the finger at other Christians when we fail at the basic things. Most people, they're not going to be upset with you about not witnessing to them until they stand at the great white throne judgment. They're not going to find fault with you now. They're going to wait until then. Now, you ought to witness to them. But the thing people find fault with God's people about in our day, it's the basic things. It's the basic thing. They look and say, you think you're better than I am. You look down your nose at me. You treat that person over there better than you treat me. And you know what? They've got justification for saying it in most instances. It's not to be like that. The basics of Christianity is in those relationships that we maintain with people. Treat everybody alike. Don't get to the point where you value somebody else and look at them as being more valuable than somebody else. You say, well, that person, they're more talented. That doesn't matter. Listen, I believe the Lord tasted death for every man. The rich and the poor. The wise and the not so wise. The smart and those that aren't so intelligent. All right? Now, he tasted death for every one of them. And I can't find anywhere in the Bible where the Bible said he loved one more than he loved another one. And we're to follow his example, our relationships. But then we get to verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Preacher, I just can't get along with so-and-so. Then stay away from them. Hey, just don't. If you just absolutely cannot do it, stay away from them. Just stay away from them. But you might examine yourself before you make that decision. Hey, is the problem really them or is it you? Live peaceably with all men. You know, there is a way to live peaceably with people. Sometimes you build a big fence between you and your neighbor. And that way you can live peaceably with your neighbor. You know, the bigger, the stronger, the better, all right? But we're to do that as much as we possibly can. We're to set that as our goal. Why? Because we're a child of God. Because that's the basic thing in relationship. Let's get along with people. Amen. Get along with people. Not only that, I want you to see the third thing tonight. We need resolve, we need relationships, and we need to take care of them, but we have a responsibility. Amen. We have a responsibility. Look at some of the things that are mentioned here. Look at verse 11. Mm-hmm. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Not slothful in business. Hey, you know, we need to recognize that in this life we have a responsibility. I was looking there at verse 11 and I'm thinking, do what? And I got to thinking about it. You need to be industrious in your business, in your labor. You're to get after it, all right? You're to get after it. I called Brother Minyard today, all right? And I forget exactly what he said. Something like this. He knew it was me calling from the number. And so he said, Jake's Mule Barn, something along that line. And so I said, well, how's things in the mule business? He said, not so good. Not so good. All right. And we got talking about it, you know. He He said, the problem is the mules don't want to work. I said, well, they're like people.
Yep.
But the Bible said we're to be industrious.
Mm-hmm.
We're to be industrious in our business, but also fervent. Notice the wording there. Fervent in spirit. We're talking seriously working at your spirituality as you seek to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Serving the Lord, all right? Serving the Lord. That is our responsibility. We have a responsibility to serve God. You do, I do, every child of God does. We have that. That is our responsibility. And we're not going to take care of it very good if we're not industrious in our business. Take care of those things. Why? So you can take care of your family, take care of your needs, meet your expenses. You can't be a good servant of God if you're not meeting your expenses, you're not paying your bills, those kind of things, all right? Hey, but it's serving the Lord that holds the preeminence. That's where the preeminence is. Everything else is important, but as it relates to us serving the Lord, we're to serve Him. We have a responsibility to do that. I look at verse 13, I see another responsibility of the child of God. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Hey, we're to put some other people first.
Yes, sir.
And we're to work to meet their needs.
Right.
We're to put the effort in meeting their needs. Yesterday, my son and I went to a football game. I got in the car with him and had a can of soup in the floorboard. And I said, man, you always carry a can of soup just in case you're hungry? He said, well, you never can tell when you might meet a homeless person that's hungry. Now, I don't really think he was telling the truth right there, but, you know, that's, it's not a bad way to look at it, to always be prepared to meet the needs of somebody else, all right? To meet their needs, to the necessity of saints. And we ought not to shy away from that. Boy, I think a lot of times God's people, when we kind of catch somebody's got a need, we go, if I don't see it, I don't have to meet it. Oh man, God help us not to be like that. God help us to be the kind of people that look and say, there's a need, let's take care of it. Let's take care of it. Not, let me go find somebody else, but what can I do to take care of that need? If you have a need, what can I do to meet that need? I mean, you're on the side of the road and you just pull your spare tire out because you got a flat. You don't want your brother passing you on the highway honking the horn said, you got a flat? No, I just stopped here for the fun of it. I'm digging in the trunk, pulling this other tire out for the fun of it. But then you get out and you find out, hey, my spare, it's flat. You know, that's a good time. God's people would at least, hey, can I help you? Is there something I can do?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I need some help. I need some help. I need somebody to do something. Let's look for the need. Let's not look to avoid the need, but look that we can help. Put some other people in the first place. Be hospitable. Just hospitable people. Given, the Bible says, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. You've been around people like that? I had an aunt that was not given to hospitality. I never felt comfortable in their house. You ever have people like that? When you sat down in their house, you never sat all the way on the seat. You're afraid if it broke, it'd be your fault, right? So you sit very carefully, sit lightly, you know, and kind of watch your hands. You don't want to accidentally touch the wrong thing. There's no comfort. But don't you like to be at people's house that are hospitable? Man, make yourself comfortable. Sit down there. Take your shoes off. Be comfortable. Given to hospitality. A welcoming spirit. A welcoming attitude. I don't like to greet people at the door and look out the door. And I've done it before and not thought about it. Somebody come up and never even thought, hey, would you like to come in? I don't want you to think, you're not welcome. You're not welcome. Given to hospitality. Verse 17, notice what the Bible says, recompense no man evil for evil. Boy, that's so easy to do. Well, you did it to me, I'm doing it to you. Oh, well, that makes it good. That makes it good. Let's keep the feud running. You know, let's not try to stop it. Let's try to keep it going as long as we can make it last. You know, you egg my car, I'll egg your car. Do your thing, I'll do mine. You whang my mailbox with a bat, baseball bat, I'll do that here. Why in the world? What's the purpose?
Amen.
Recompensing evil for evil. Why? Well, let's keep it rolling, right? Let's keep the feud going. No, not God's people. We're not to do that. We're not to repay evil with evil.
Amen.
You know, remember that verse, as much as is in you, live peaceably with all men. You'll never do that if you decide, I got to get even. I got to get even. I've got a statue in my old office here in the church. And it says on it, I don't get mad. I just get even. And that was given to me years ago by, I think, my wife, you know. But I wasn't right with God then, but I am now, okay. And I probably deserved that when I was younger. But we're not to repay evil with evil, all right? We're just not to do that. Hey, notice the rest of that verse says provide things honest in the sight of all men. Doesn't that sound like just basic Christianity to you? Be honest. Hey, we're talking about our responsibility. What's your responsibility as a Christian? Be honest. Be honest. In the sight of all men. Now, that doesn't mean it's okay if you can hide it. You can be dishonest, okay? No, it's provide honest things in the sight of all men. That's just basic Christianity. It's just a basic thing. Be honest with people. Be up front with people in every way. Tell the truth about things.
Amen.
Don't try to hide and cover up the truth. Hey, just be honest. Provide yourself that way. Why? That's just basic Christianity. Who would think, well, it's okay to be dishonest? Well, it's not okay. Not okay. Look down at verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Now, by the way, we could go a lot deeper with these things. But I just told you, I decided to cover it all in one message. One message. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Man alive. What a way to look at things. It's not our job to seek vengeance. Not our job to seek vengeance. But don't you want to? Don't you want to? Come on, I mean, really, don't you get the feeling, I'll fix your wagon? I mean, it's just so easy for us to get that feeling. Somebody does something, and we think, I'll get back. I'll get back at you. Well, the Bible says, let that alone. Let that alone. Leave that in the hands of God. You're talking about a different view of the Christian life. There where it says that you've got an enemy, said, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Give him something to drink. Now, I'll admit there's controversy about the end of that verse. I've heard people say all kinds of things about that. Where it says, if you'll do that, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And everybody has a different version of it. You know, somebody say, well, that keep coals of fire on his head, that'll make him feel really bad, you know, and everything. I've heard others say, if you'll do that, it'll just eat him alive because he won't be able to stand it, you know. And so do it. Rather than seeking vengeance, just do good, and he won't be able to stand that either, all right? So what do you think, preacher? I think we ought not to seek vengeance. I think it'd do us good to feed that, folks. If he's an enemy, do something good for him. Do something good for him. I remember, man, it's been several years ago now, down at school. I mentioned to you, we had a fellow move in on the corner, and he had this idea of what the property was and what belonged to him. And you know, I tried to talk to him, And I saw real quick, I'm not going to get anywhere doing this. And I need to back off. I just need to be friendly, and I need to go about it in a different way. Now, I could have stood out there and argued with that guy. And by the way, I was right, and I knew I was right, and I knew he was wrong. But you know what? I'd have gained nothing by shoving that up his nose, all right? I'd have gained nothing at all by that. Nothing. And so, now I wanted to, because it made me mad.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, how can people be so stupid, you know? But I thought, look, you just, it's not going to handle things that way. And it was against everything I wanted to do and the way I wanted to handle it. But, you know, you can make friends out of people if you work hard at it. You can make, and before the whole thing was over, we were friends. And truth be told, I wish I could have done more for him than I did. Looking back, I wish I could have done. I wish he'd have let me do more for him than I was able to do. They did come to church one Sunday. They did do that. But hey, you can make your enemy a bigger enemy. Or if you'll work at it, you can kind of bring him over to your side. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil. That's what happens when we decide to take vengeance. That's what happens when we decide I'll get even. That's what happens sometimes when we say I'll demand my rights. This is my right, and I'm in the right here. Yeah, but the way you go about it can soon you'll be overcome of evil. But instead, we ought to overcome evil with good in what we're doing. Hey, in what we're doing. Just basic Christianity begins with a resolve. I'm going to abhor that which is evil. I'm going to cleave to that which is good. At the same time, it comes up, and I realize that it's about relationships. The Christian life, basic Christianity, is about relationships. It deals with the relationship we have with other people. Hey, you can't witness to somebody by attacking them. You can witness to people, but it's a lot better if you do it from a friend basis. But it's about relationships, maintaining and making relationships. It's about realizing I have a responsibility. There's some responsibilities. These are things God's given to me to do. Why? Because I am a child of God. I have some responsibility. All of that said, but I want you to go back and look at verse 12. Because in the midst of it, there's some rejoicing. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Boy, sometimes that's the last thing we think of is basic Christianity. Because when it comes to that resolve, we don't look at that as being fun. Well, it's so hard to keep myself in line. And when it comes to relationships, because we're human, sometimes we have a hard time putting somebody else first. Sometimes we have a hard time treating everybody the same the way we should. It's difficult and it's a trying thing. And then responsibility. Who doesn't want to shirk some responsibility every now and then? Pass it on. Let you do that. You handle that. And we don't think too much about the rejoicing side. But can I tell you, part of basic Christianity is just rejoicing. Just rejoicing. There needs to be room and there needs to be time in your life to rejoice. Rejoice. There's a lot to rejoice over. One thing, we can rejoice because we have hope. We have hope. Look at there, rejoicing in hope. In hope. You said, I don't have any hope. Man, I do. I do. I'm thinking right now who I hope will win the national championship in the college football. And I've got hope. Got nothing to do with my spirituality, all right? I got some hope. But man, I am rejoicing in hope. I'm hoping life's going to get better. I'm just hoping. Aren't you hoping next year will be better than this year? Man, I am. I'm hoping next year will be better. We won't have to go through so much, and maybe this junk will end before the year's over. And so I've got that hope that it's going to be there. But I'll tell you this, Brother Marion taught about the hope of the resurrection. Thank God, got a hope of resurrection. Now, I'll go out on occasion to the cemetery. Most of the cemeteries around here, the big major cemeteries, man, there's people I know that have been planted there. Nearly all of them. And I can't even begin to remember everybody that's everywhere. But I can go through that cemetery and I can see people I know and people I love and go by those graves. And sometimes I went by, stopped by just a few weeks ago, stopped by the grave, Mom and Dad, and you said, well, they're not there. I know that. But I just stopped by to make sure they hadn't got up yet and me not knowing about it. And I went straight down the road, same road Dad and Mom are buried on. It's my uncle, my aunt. Amen. Walked down there. Got in my car and drove around to where old Brother Dennis is buried. Amen. And just walked along there. And I could just go on and on and on. But boy, I've got a hope of seeing those people again. Yes, there is a hope, man. Just last week, those two services. Brother Hawkins, Ms. Oftedal, oh, good people, godly people. Hey, there's a hope of the resurrection. We didn't bury them thinking, well, this is it. We'll never see them again. No, no. Don't ever even think of it that way. I think about looking forward to the day I'm going to see them again. What, man, there's a hope. Hey, not just maybe so, think so, but that Christian hope, this positive assurance from the Word of God that's going to happen. Man, I've got a hope. Hey, the Lord's coming.
Amen.
The Lord's coming. He's coming back. I still hope to see Him in my day. I still hope He'll come in my lifetime.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to Him. I'm like old Brother Flanagan wrote that song, I ain't going to ride no hearse. Said, the Lord's coming first. Before I die, I'm going to fly. I ain't going to ride no hearse. Man, I like that song. That's the hope. My wife bought it and I inherited it. That was the dowry when she got married. When we married, she brought, and we paid them off after we got married. We got two spots out at Mount Olivet that I really hope never to use.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to use those. Got no great desire to say, well, the only property we'll ever really own. And I own some others, but they tax it. And if I don't pay the tax, they'll take it away from me.
Yep.
Thank God. At least now, that you're buried in, they won't come back, dig you up, and give it to somebody else. They do in some countries.
Yes, sir.
They do in some countries. Hey, I'm hoping never to use that because I'm looking for the Lord to come back. What a hope. What a hope that is, all right? Now, notice what the rest of that verse says. It says, patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. You know what? I think that ought to be the child of God. I think it goes back to that hope. We hope life's going to get better. Yep, I may have to endure some tribulation, but I'm going to still have hope. I'm going to still have hope. And you know what? Because I've got hope, I'm going to just go ahead and rejoice even in the midst of that tribulation. Just rejoice. I've laid in the bed in the hospital before and started singing. Not necessarily because I felt so good, but I just got rejoicing over the fact that I was saved. And just having a good time. You know, just enjoying being there. And the Lord's good. He's good all the time. Hey, He's good if I'm not feeling good. He's still good. And just rejoice. You know, I like for nurses and people like that to say, we don't mind having you in the hospital. You've been a pleasure to deal with. I'd not want to be one that'd say, thank God that rascal's getting out of here. I'm up to here. No, don't want to be like that. Patiently enduring tribulation, we can still rejoice. Then it says, continuing instant in prayer. You know what? That's one reason we can rejoice. Because we know when we pray, God hears our prayer. And He's going to answer that prayer. The answer's coming. Man, you can count on it. All we got to do is just do it. Well, we can rejoice. God hears us. You think about people around this world today bowing at some altar, some image, praying to their God that cannot hear them. Cannot hear them. Serving a God that has no way to reach out and help them. Man, bless your heart. I can rejoice instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Anytime, all the time, you can pray. You can pray. Folks, listen to me. Basic Christianity. The things that we have a tendency sometimes to overlook. Let me ask you, and I'll be done. If you had to mark your own report card as to the basics, how are you doing? How are you doing? You know, it's kind of like in school. It used to be reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? How are you doing in the basics? You know, if you abhor evil, you'll stay away from it. You'll stay away from it. You'll have nothing to do with it. How's things? Are you working on the relationships? Are you working to build good relationships with people? You say, well, I've just given up so-and-so. Don't. Keep working at it. Build them. Are you taking care of the responsibilities God has placed upon you? Lastly, does the world see you rejoicing or moping? How's the world see you? If you had to mark the report card, listen, can I say this to you? It's not what I think. It's what God thinks. And nobody knows better than you how you're doing in these areas. Nobody knows how better. Hey, you know what? We don't see each other much during the week, right? We don't see each other much during the week. We kind of get scattered. We're doing things. Everybody knows got stuff going on. We come together. Listen, it's not hard to fake Christianity 5 hours a week. Two on Sunday morning, you know. One on Sunday night. One on Wednesday night. What's that? That's just 4 hours. And I guess we'll throw in an extra 15, 20 minutes before and after those services. About 5 hours a week. It's not really hard to fake it. You can be fussing, hollering, screaming at each other coming down the road, turn on the parking lot and smile, get out of the car and say, how you doing, preacher? It's good to see you. Man, life's wonderful. And just before you got out, you said, we'll finish this after church. We can fake it. So I'm saying to you, it's not me marking the card, it's you and God. How you doing just basic Christianity? Just the basics of Christianity. How you doing? Heavenly Father, help us now. Lord, help us to really take a look at ourselves. Help us to examine our own life. Here we are, we're Christians. We've trusted you as our Savior. We put our faith, we put our confidence in you. Lord, we tell people, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and no, I am. I am a Christian. Well, Lord, help us to examine ourselves. How are we doing on just the basic things that have to do with a Christian life? Our relationships, our responsibility, the joy we display. Lord, how we resolve to cleave to the good and abhor the evil. Lord, help us to be honest. Lord, it's invitation time. If we need to come, help us, Lord, to forget about anybody else, not worry about what anybody else thinks, what they might consider. But, Lord, just help us to remember it's me and you and how I'm doing as a Christian. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing invitation tonight. Would you stand together? And listen, if you need to come, the altar's here, all right? The altar's here. If you need to come, just come. Do business with God. You don't have to worry about anybody else. And nobody's going to come to you. You just come do business with God. Would you come tonight while we sing? Come on.